In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my friend, Arlita Winston, who has had a fascinating background, childhood, Sumatra, and now we're in Shanghai. And I want my listeners to know that one of the things that Arlita is doing now for her five children, all of whom have grown up and married and left home, is to write a most wonderful weekly letter. And I'm a very fortunate recipient of that letter, too. At my request, I asked Arlita if I could also see her family letters. And she decided to put into her letters some of her experiences there in Shanghai and what she's calling the China pool. Tell us where you got that pool word.
It comes from one of the books from C.S. Lewis, when the children would come to these pools that if they jumped into a particular pool, they would enter a completely new world. And so our children were very well versed with C.S. Lewis's Narnian tales. And so I've just described one of these pools that we're jumping into in the letter as my China pool.
Yes, when you've described whatever you've been doing the past week with all these wonderful stories of your grandchildren and everything, then there's usually a paragraph about the China pool. I'd love to hear some of those, again, illustrating what kind of parents you had and the faith that was so evident in their lives and in their raising of their children.
Well, at the time we moved to Shanghai, there was a great deal that was just normal activity. We went to school, the Shanghai American School, and we were involved with other families. But at the same time, we knew that the communists were coming in. They had already taken Peking, and now very shortly they would take Shanghai. And so one particular night that I recall, we knew that they would be in that very night. And I had recently been in a play with our little Bible club where I had been acting out the role of Queen Esther. And so it had been very fresh in my mind, the lines and the whole story, the desperate story that Esther found herself faced with, and that is the killing of all of her people. And why was she there in the kingdom for that time? And so this was very fresh in my mind the night when the communists came in to take over Shanghai. And we knew the soldiers were just outside the city. We could hear the guns and the cannons several miles away. We knew that they would make our section that night. Daddy gathered our family together into the living room to pray. He told us that we would probably be invaded that very night. And I remember sitting on the floor next to a large, highly polished radio with loosely woven material stretched across the speakers. There was a Life magazine with Queen Elizabeth, regally dressed in blue, holding baby Prince Charles on her lap. And his christening gown was flowing down over her dress. And that magazine was lying on the coffee table. And Daddy's voice was very quiet and calm. Mother sat serenely in her chair with 18-month-old Paul on her lap. And just several months ago, she had surprised us with the news that we would be having another baby. And my mind flipped back to that afternoon when she had said with a sparkle in her voice, "A surprise is hidden somewhere in the living room, and you'll both need to hunt for it." And with shouts of glee, Andrea and I soon discovered a pair of baby booties tucked behind the curtains in the living room. Years later, we were to learn that Mother and Daddy had been so surprised by this sixth edition that they were embarrassed to tell the family back home in America. They were afraid they would say, "Oh, how foolish, having another baby in the middle of a war." And I really don't think they told relatives for a long time. And then not until they discovered that their fellow missionaries, Dick and Margaret Hillis, were also going to have their sixth. And now tonight, we might all die. And my turn came to pray, and all I could think of was Queen Esther's cry. And I cried that same cry. If we perish, we perish for thee, Lord. And I wondered at the time if the family would think that sounded strange, but I learned later that that became the prayer, the amen of our whole family. We went to bed that night quietly, and the verse came to my mind, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." I went sound asleep. That night was one of the most horrible nights Mother and Dad remember going through. Mother later said, "Oh, I would rather give birth to 12 babies at once than to go through another night like that, Daddy." But the shells came and the weapons. It was a terrible night of siege. But we children slept the entire night through peacefully. God protected us.
Your parents had created such a confidence, such a sense of security in you children. That has got to be a testimony to their own faith and to the strength of the foundation on which that faith rested.
Well, and I think they would be the first to say that it was the grace that God provided, because it wasn't until later that Dad experienced profound fear, and it was just before we evacuated and had escaped. But during this time, he said his heart was just straight, no fear. Very soon after that night, we were asked to, our home was confiscated and we had to be ordered out. And we went to a Southern Baptist compound, which was surrounded by a high wall and a guard at the gate. And it was this house that we welcomed my little baby brother, John Robert. And that was February of 1950. And what a week. The bombs were still falling. Mother had gone to the China Inland Mission headquarters, which had a hospital located on its ninth floor. She didn't want to wait until she went into labor, because who knows if the pedicab or rickshaw could get her there in time. After all, this was her sixth baby. Also, Daddy was in the hospital with a particularly severe asthma attack. Paul and Hubert, two of my brothers, had been admitted to the hospital with bronchitis. And that just left Stanley and us girls. Stan was placed with another missionary family, the Wilhelms, in the same CIM headquarters, but their apartment was on another floor. And my dear mother, what circumstances to give birth to a new baby? And she was feeling, "Oh, Lord, we're good to nobody out here, all of us in the hospital. We are such a burden." And meanwhile, the Wilhelms, the family that Stan was staying with, they were trying to get their exit permits to be able to evacuate from Shanghai. They'd been waiting for over a year, and if it was much longer, their son Hans would have his 18th birthday and would be unable to leave with them. They were wanting to return to Germany to join their older children. And this is the family that four-year-old Stan was staying with, and he slept on a little cot tucked into an alcove of a rather wide hallway. And each morning before 6 o'clock, he would waken the entire household singing in his baby English, "Trust in the Lord and don't despair." It goes like this: "Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what the troubles are, Jesus will see you through. Sing when the day is bright. Sing in the darkest night every day. All the way let us sing, sing, sing." And they would hear this little four-year-old singing this at the top of his lungs, and of course he wakened everybody in the household singing it. And then they would run out down to where they would see if their exit permit had come. And just hearing this little song sung so exuberantly held them steady. And it was later, when they actually evacuated, that my mother found out how that song had held them so steady during those desperate days. And then came the day when our mother came home with Shanghai John. That's what we called baby John. And how well I remember welcoming him. His little bassinet was made cozy, placed next to mother's and daddy's bed. Mother looked fresh and pink despite the bombing, wreathed in smiles, her rosy silk bed jacket. And I'll never forget the warm, soft light in the bedroom contrasted with the darkness of the night around us. And I can still visualize the flowered coverlet, feel the weight of our new baby in my arms. And I wondered at such beauty in the midst of war, such peace in the midst of turmoil. And that late afternoon, the very longing of motherhood was born in my heart. And I thought, surely they will let this baby be mine to care for. And I was to celebrate my 12th birthday that month, and I pled with Mother to let me have him for my own. And she just smiled warmly and assured me that I could help her all I cared to.
What a scene. What a beautiful scene. Some of my listeners may have read my book that has, I guess it's, is it Love Has a Price Tag?
Mm-hmm.
That has a story called Five Kids and Peace. And that story is about Arlita's family, about Arlita's children. But the peace that you succeeded in creating in your house that I observed on that occasion, you had learned at home. And to see your mother there, having just given birth to a baby in the midst of a war-torn situation in Shanghai, what a lesson. I hope that some of our listeners will be encouraged by that, to realize that even in the most impossible situations, and maybe some of you are expecting babies in what look to you like impossible situations, the peace of the Lord is something that the world can never give.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.